Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, Spokane. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. This is literally the only show that is providing the only fight and the only fighting chance and the only solution that we have into saving our Constitutional Republic. And oh, by the way, might I say, your liberties and your sovereignty, because that is what is on the line. That parchment is the only thing that is protecting your liberties and sovereignty, because once government has slid into the grasp of communism, the concept of you being endowed by your creator with inalienable rights will slip away. They will be gone. And so that's how critical this one show is, because no one is confronting the evil that we are facing. None of the conservative entertainers are. It is not going to be coming from the mainstream media, especially the Spokane local media, because bottom line, they are parroting the all's well Baghdad Bob message, even though everything is literally falling in around us. And so if you cannot listen to this entire show today, you will definitely want to catch the rebroadcast tomorrow at 5 p.m. and Saturday at 11 a.m. That's a little different. And Sunday at 9 p.m. As you know, this is an educational show and I build off of other shows. And so you do want to check out the podcast. They're on reclaimingtherepublic.org. But I need to kind of slide through a lot of information because I've got a lot of content and I am going to expose you to something that is going to shock you, because I truly believe that if you do not understand the insidiousness of communism and how they have changed the paradigm of humanity, then this show is going to be critical for you to grasp and understand. And this content is that important. I may not have to smell the politics of Spokane all day because I don't live in Spokane County, but the fumes are seeping into the countryside, and I will tell you that things are not well. You've heard me talk about the lack of leadership. You've got a lot of managers, and you need to become very familiar with the agendas that they are promoting, because these agendas are a facade, because bottom line, it is all about surrendering liberty and sovereignty, because we have elected leaders who know better, because that's the communist concept. They know better than we do. And they'll take care of us because they're noble people. We have noble leaders. But actually, I'm telling you, they're not leaders. They're actually managers. But before we get into anything that I'm really going to go into, because I got about 7.5 minutes, the local announcements is this, that this Friday will be an open mic. And I'm not sure if they're going to have Mike Fagan there and we're just going to cut him open, or there's somebody other mic that they're cutting open, or if they're actually going to have a microphone that they can pass around, because they usually don't have a microphone. But I think that was Rob's intent, is to just have an open forum so that there can be an open discussion on what the heck's going on. And if you go to these, or if you've never gone to these, this would be a good one to go, because I think the fur is going to fly as people start really looking at what's going on and what's been happening. I will tell you that on the 6th, they'll have Angelo's going to be there. You know, I'm bad with names, and I'm looking at this and I'm going, I'm not even going to try this. So forgive me, Angelo. I just don't want to insult you by mispronouncing your name, but he is going to be covering the acquisition of Avista by Hydro One, and I think he just needs more time to be able to present this. This meeting is a Friday morning at 7 a.m. at the Something Else Deli at 152 South Sherman. So make sure you go there if you want to get informed. there will be more information locally. The only other organization that is trying to keep the electorate here informed is Northwest Grassroots Movie Night, and that will be on the 12th of September at Darcy's. So please make sure you attend. We will request and need as many patriots as possible there to be able to understand where we're going and moving forward. As you know, I've got my national radio show. I've been covering a lot of glimpses on how communism has penetrated into America this past week and how we are slipping and how we have slipped. But we still have a chance. And that's why Republic Review and the audit is literally our only process and chance of purging communism from outside, getting it out of our government altogether and keeping it out of our government, because our Constitution was designed to do just that. I will tell you the sentiments, I will tell you the sentiments are changing in leadership, in conservative leadership. People are being promised power and at the expense of your liberties. I am telling you that I think some of these people are good. I think that they have just such a lust for power that they are compromising whatever good they have and whatever morals or virtue that they possess. And it is at our expense, my friends. It is at our expense. So let me kind of tell you and give you an overall view of how this show is going to play out, because I've got Mitchell Gerber, who I interviewed. And so you're going to hear me talk about my talk show, my Red State Talk Radio phone number. I'm going to be I intended on having this interview strictly on my national. But I think it's important that you understand what the heck's going on and how these concepts are being embraced around the world, and America better toe the line as well, because the elitists want to be able to have no consequences to their living a life of debauchery, being able to go get a new organ, being able to get new liver, new kidneys, what have you. And so I want you to fathom what this show is going to provide you, because this is the new norm, and it is a level of inhumanity that you will not be able to believe. There are political prisoners that are literally being kept, and they have been mapped biologically for their, tissues and all of those types of things, so that you can get on a plane and go to China and literally get any organ you want in perfect condition, because the occupants of those organs are alive in prisoner camps. And this is just an insidious concept, but there's an organization called the Falun Gong or the Falun Dafa. And it is kind of like a religious movement, but it is not a religion. They do not have any buildings or anything else. It is more of a form of exercise like yoga and so forth, and a paradigm of living harmoniously with the world. And so they are the political prisoners. You're going to learn about this, and this is just going to blow you away. So how does this really represent liberty? How does this really represent what we're doing here? When the state has the full authority, then they can choose to do whatever they want. They can take your life. They can put your life on hold in a prison camp, and they can leave you there until becomes a demand for your body parts. And over time, these cities of prison camps will be able to continually produce more and more organs and more tissue samples, and the ability to provide people good, healthy organs. That's where they're going. And the UN is completely silent about this. And oh, by the way, if you didn't know, China's been doing this for 20 years. They actually have a huge industry. They've built hospitals. You don't do something like this overnight and have hospitals all around the country capable of performing the necessary surgeries, so that all you've got to do is just fly into China and just give them your tissue sample and all of that, and they will find your match, because they have over 300 million political prisoners just waiting to surrender because the state is going to compel them to do so. And so this is a very hideous thing, and I think it is important to understand the shift. I've been talking a lot about this, the wiring between those on the side of liberty and those on the side of subjugation are completely different. A person on the side of liberty is like Christ. They want you to have the full ability to choose for yourself whatever it is you want to do. On the opposite end of those who believe in subjugation, anything and everything that is necessary to further their means, whether it's killing you, taking your life, and doing whatever they need to do to further their cause, that's what is important, and that's what must be done. And that is why they have no problem with furthering lives of evil people. And there is no such thing as morality. There is no such thing as sin in their world. And you have to understand that there is a complete difference. When they tell you, when somebody says, well, we'll just agree to disagree, what they just told you is they just haven't been able to destroy you yet. And so they will go off and work and figure out what they need to do. Because those people that are that far into subjugation, that are promoting communism and statism, that's where they are wired. And as for us, we just can't even fathom that, because we all believe in freedom. We all believe that everybody can choose for themselves to do what they want to do. But there are those who believe that you are a big danger to society and a big danger to their plan. So when we come back, we'll have Mitchell Gerber on the phone. We'll do two segments with him, and then I will be back to introduce you to Anastasia, which is another sound clip of a person providing some other testimony that I think is very important, and then I'll give you a close at the end of the show. So please stay tuned. This is really critical stuff, and I'm exposing you to what is necessary. God bless, and we'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And folks, as promised, I actually have Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, or I guess your handle is Lionheart. And he's speaking to me from a distant land. And I will let him tell you what, why, and how he's kind of gotten into this awareness campaign, as well as I'll just call it because it's righteous, we can call it a crusade, even though, you know, that kind of has a connotation of of Christianity. But anyway, Mitchell, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, GR. Nice to be here. Thank you, everybody, for having me.
You're more than welcome. As a matter of fact, how did you come across both this atrocity and get involved in this?
Wow. Well, this unspeakable horror that I'm about to share with you today on the program, I came into contact with in 2001 when I was studying international human relations and politics at the University of Georgia as a United States citizen in Atlanta. And I was shocked to hear about these allegations that have been confirmed as we speak since 2006. I didn't know about them in 2001, but I came across this innocent spiritual movement, very similar to Tai Chi or yoga. I was very interested in the Eastern modalities coming from the Western athletic perspective. And this particular group of people, a spiritual group called the Falun Gong, a spiritual movement, a way of life, a meditation, and a mind and body practice, if you will, became the largest spiritual movement in China. One out of every 12 Chinese national citizens were practicing these slow-moving, easy-to-learn, beautiful and healthy exercises, five in total, with a philosophy of being more truthful, compassionate, and tolerant. I came to learn this about this when I was studying in Atlanta. I first tried the exercises, and my goodness, GR, my body just felt at home, spiritually vitalized, rejuvenated. I could breathe better. I could feel better. And I could sleep better. I couldn't believe how miraculously my body changed for the better after practicing the Falun Gong exercises. The energy channels unblock, the organs became really healthy. Like I said, my demeanor, my state of being, my emotional realm, my focus. Everyone wanted to be around me more. I felt like a little bit of a celebrity because of my positive attitude, amplified after practicing the Falun Gong exercises. But I hated to see what was going on in China to these people who practiced Falun Gong particularly, because they were targeted for the persecution and now organ harvesting in the most vilified and dehumanized way.
Okay, so you were working on your degree in Atlanta. You finished your degree, and did you travel to learn about? And I'm gonna get it wrong, and everybody knows I'm really bad with names. But this, I'll call it a faith exercise practice. Did you actually delve into the faith itself, or was it first the exercise, or both, or what?
I come from a Jewish family, so I have my faith in God. I just like the exercises. The faith is universal. It's not a religion. It's a way of life. And Falun Gong just appealed to me and intrigued me because the universal principles of truthfulness and compassion and tolerance is amplified in all religions, I believe.
Okay.
It's integrated.
So it's kind of like judo, aikido, and there's some martial arts that kind of have a philosophy of how to live and so forth with a balance and all of that. So it's more of a philosophical, not necessarily a deep-rooted religion that converts a lot of people then.
Correct. It's okay. A very spiritual way of life, a mind and body practice.
Okay.
These universal principles and teachings allow you to be a better person.
And did you travel to get exposed to this?
Not at all. I was at the university. They were
really?
Absolutely. And they were having a human rights festival with different cultures. And there were some Chinese people who were practicing the Falun Gong exercises. And raising awareness about the brutal persecution against these innocent group of people.
Okay.
And I happened to just stumble upon it. I loved yoga and Tai Chi and martial arts, and I started to practice, and I immediately felt wonderful.
Okay. So you got exposed to this. You started learning about these abominable practices by the Communist Party in China. And so then what did you do? Did you just go get on a ship and join Greenpeace, or what did you do to get active into this? And if you got the time. We got about 5 minutes here, so if you go ahead and tell me, how did you get involved in this?
Well, you know, it's a feeling of when something grips you so deeply and makes you feel like you are compelled to do something, to act. Right. I made this my mission, GR, and everybody. I opened up, I established a human rights organization. I went so far as to went around to every single university in Atlanta to do human rights campaigns, petition drives. I went on talk shows. I went on television shows. I literally created an entire human rights organization at the University of Georgia and Georgia State University, and I would bring people together to raise awareness about this. I also went so far as to receive a death threat from Communist China, and I had to sit down with the Federal Bureau of Investigation in Atlanta, headquartered, because of my efforts to expose this, which I pat myself on the back, because you know what? To make such a dent and to make such an impact to Communist China, to get a receive a death threat and spies after you, and to sit down with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, man, it's a job well done, and it makes me feel great.
Right, right, because you're making an impact when they actually come after you personally like that. Absolutely, and yes. So I'm gonna say that you still then have this human rights organization that you are running, and I'm gonna say, because there's a lot of other ones out there, I'm gonna say that you've started working with other ones, and you're creating a symbiotic relationship between these other organizations that are focused on bringing light and awareness to this problem.
Yes, and now I have become the advocacy director of StopOrganHarvesting.org, and I also work closely with the main investigators, and I was recently in London bringing the coalition of investigators at a briefing at the UK Parliament in Westminster Abbey, and we were briefing the UK Parliament about this atrocity and the allegations of forced organ harvesting, where at least 100,000 per year, between 60 and 100,000 Falun Gong practitioners have been sent to state-mandated hospitals, their organs cut out of their bodies while alive, and the organs then sold as the healthiest organs in the world illegally without any consent, because the exercises of Falun Gong are so healthy. And right. So I became the advocacy director to expose this on StopOrganHarvesting.org.
Right. And I've likened this with my audience before, that it's one thing to have a society that has been debased, where our morals have made people think and marginalize life itself, to where a woman actually chooses to abort a child because she doesn't believe that that's a life. It's just fetal tissue. And that's what we've been indoctrinated to believe. But it's completely different when you have the state basically imprison you and then basically compel you by force to die and surrender those life-giving organs that, you know, obviously you're not going to survive after that. And so this is just cannibalistic. It is truly an evil that it's kind of unparalleled when state is doing something to this magnitude.
Absolutely, GR. And to understand how organ harvesting could happen in China, it is crucial to understand that there is no limit to how far the Chinese Communist Party will go to wipe out something or someone. And if I may, ladies and gentlemen, imagine it was your families. Imagine it was you that was under cover of darkness or in the daylight, just ripped from your families. No court, no trial, no nothing. Just the secret police, the national police, just come into your home, take you, throw you into a van. Next thing, you're caught in steel containers with hundreds and thousands of Falun Gong practitioners, and your organs ripped out of your bodies and sold. And also, your bodies then plastinized and embalmed to be shipped off to the body worlds that are being sold and put on display in different countries around the world for millions of dollars. I mean, this is a billion-dollar industry, industrialized, institutionalized. There is no other government in the world that has done this. Except for China, and Yes, this is an abomination. This is a new form of genocide. This has been confirmed, and I'm grateful to be on your show, GR, to share with your listeners about this.
No problem. And as a matter of fact, we've got about 30 seconds left. And actually, I still have a few more questions because what we're trying to do here, folks, is I'm just trying to introduce you to the topic at a high level and the person that is delivering this information, which is Mitchell. And so if you wouldn't mind holding over, we'll hold you over for another segment. That way, when we come back, I can kind of explain to the audience why they're going to want to stay attuned to this and the information that'll be forthcoming and how we'll present this. So if you could just hold on real quick and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, okay? Thank you much.
Yes.
And folks, we will be right back after a couple of minutes and a word from our sponsor. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TALK-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And I will just say this, that if you do want to call in, please don't, because I'm having to pre-record this just to make this a suitable time for myself and Mitchell. But the fact is I've got Mitchell Nicholas Gerber on the line, and we're talking very specifically about how he got into this humanitarian fight and how he's kind of grown in this and the role that he's playing. And it's an important, it's a critical role. It's a noble role, because there's a lot of times we all have an opportunity to kind of stand up and make a difference. And sometimes it's a big thing, you know, by standing up to a bully, or sometimes it's literally trying to stand up to, you know, a nation like China, which is what Mitchell is doing. And so I appreciate your time, Mitchell. And what I want to do is I'd like to get a little bit more information. So you've created your own organization, and now you're working for other organizations and with other organizations, is because I understand what it takes, because I've got my own cause here. I understand it takes money to actually make success happen, because you got to be able to travel. You need to be able to support just the perfunctory functions within an organization. So how did you go about getting the financing, or how did that happen for you?
There was no finance at all. It was strictly out of my own pockets.
Really? At the very beginning, do you have at this point, or are there mechanisms for people to...
Not at all. That is the nobility of it. That's the not. I've done everything. I worked 3 or 4 jobs sometimes, clean toilets, work in grocery stores to save money in order to build a understanding or an awareness. And I've used my Facebook, I've used YouTube, I've used Twitter, I've used Instagram. And I know my colleagues who have built StopOrganHarvesting.org and other websites like EndTransplantAbuse.org. It was only out of their own volition, their own pockets. We don't get funded. Even the volunteers, even the two esquires, David Mathis and David Kilgore, they weren't paid to do the investigations. They did it strictly out of their heart's need to get the word out, because when you are dealing with something so huge, ladies and gentlemen, it touches you. It touches you deeply on a very soul, spiritual, and heartfelt level, that you are compelled, regardless of what it takes, to get the word out there. And I ask for no money. I ask for no fame. I ask for no reward. All I ask for you to lend me your ears and your heart for me to convey this information. And in the future, as GR says, it's a very serious topic, and it's a very hard to believe and hard to stomach topic.
Right.
But as we go further into it, I will bring on sound bites into your understanding and into your periphery that I've prepared to share with you the testimonies from the gentleman and the lady, Miss World Calendar, that will share with you. But yeah, everything was made out of my own volition, out of my own enthusiasm.
Right. So folks, what we're going to end up doing is I'm going to be doing several segments, because this is really a content rich, and this has been going on for over 20 years. Or about 20 years, I think it's a little over 20 years, that China has started moving and basically taking political prisoners who practice Falun Gong,
Falun Gong.
Falun Gong. And so what's really important is to try to put this into context for you. I know that I could, you know, just bury you with all this testimony, and if it's not in context, then it doesn't mean anything. And what we'll do in some upcoming episodes is I will do more recordings with Mitchell, and we're going to play some sound bites, and then at the appropriate time, we'll kind of talk and kind of explain who these folks are, what they're doing, what they're talking about, who they're talking to, so that we can put this into context. The other thing I have, and the other question I ask, is, Mitchell, do you have room for contributions? Because if people are listening, they go, you know, I ask people all the time to get behind something that you can stand for. And I'm hoping that my audience is standing for the Constitution and contributing to my candidates that are committed to protecting the Constitution. But if there are people that really find that this just shakes their core, they can relate to this, how can they contribute, or how can they help?
The most important, ladies and gentlemen, is your awareness, your discernment. If you are a reporter out there, bring this topic to your news media, your newsroom. If you are a CEO, bring this into your board meetings and say, listen, this has been going on in China. Do I want to do, or do we want to do business with a reign of terror like the communist regime that are killing its citizens for their organs? If you are a lecturer or a college professor and you have a student base of 300 in a class and you're doing ethics or international politics, I would love to be on Skype in your classroom talking to your students about this. That is how you can help us.
Right.
Also, signing a petition the pen is more mightier than the sword. So it's like signing a petition, like signing a will or signing a check. It's very, very important what you put your name to, or signing a contract. You're not just going to sign for under anything. So signing a petition at stoporganharvesting.org is actually positioning your spirit and your heart and your individuality on the right side of destiny in supporting stopping this against the Falun Gong in China.
Right.
And as Albert Einstein said, GR, the world is a dangerous place to live, not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it. Right. And that's why I take my hat off to you and your listeners for listening to me out of their busy days and busy schedules and joining on to this topic today, because it's so serious and so important. So you've helped already.
So one of the things I can throw in, because you didn't mention it, is there's a lot of people that do listen that are a part of the social media. So I'm going to have, and it'll already be when I'm airing this, this actual segment, I will already have on my website the content on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page, as well as my other links page. And this is all on reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can go and get this information, and you can start sharing these links, start sharing these videos from YouTube and other sources on social media, whether you use Twitter, whether you use Facebook, Instagram, any social media that you use, you can share this with your friends. And if you want to be the most informed person, then that's great, because now you can share and inform others, and you can help them become informed and sharing this with others and so forth. Getting a social media campaign would be probably the best way you can help in bringing awareness to this, unless you do have access to other media, other resources, and so forth. And so we have about 3 minutes left of this segment, and I want to maximize this. And so at this point, the one question I want to, before we even get into this, is, and so we get it out there, what will it really take to end this? Because we got, like I said, 2.5 minutes. What will it take to end this?
First of all, most importantly, is the awareness. Like I said, the awareness of the individual citizen to do something about this. Write your congressman. Sign your petitions. But most importantly, understand that the medical associations, the governmental bodies around the world need to pass laws. Israel just passed a law in 2008. They were the first ones to do it. I know there has been rumors of Israel doing organ harvesting, but it is not true, because organ harvesting bans and laws being put into place to stop their own citizens from going to China has been conducted by Israel. The 2008 Israeli organ transplantation law, and in transplantabuse.org, you can actually see the law if you look it up as well. So people have to pass laws. The Scottish Parliament is actually very close. They passed a tissue law which prohibits tissue from being bought from other countries, especially China. They can just actually ratify that and amend that to create an organ tourism a law, just like Israel has done, just like Taiwan has done, just like Spain has done, and Italy. But those are only four countries, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. The problem we have is that there's so much money involved. The military is making money off it. The doctors are making money off it. The governmental bodies are making money off it. Look at the World Health Organization, the United Nations. They are staying silent. But with your help, to expose this with your friends on social media, as GR has said, to write your congresspeople. Even the senators have passed the House of Representatives have passed U.S. resolutions. 19 years this is going on, but still silence, still nothing. But I believe with President Trump is going to do something. I believe so, and I have full faith in his administration. I didn't have it in Obama's, and I did not have it in Hillary Clinton's, but I do have it in his, that there's going to be a big change, and there's going to be, might be an organ transplantation law that has been passed once more and more people come to hear about this. Okay. We are making history, folks.
All right.
The coalition are making history, and with your help, we're going to make even more so.
Well, let me thank you. We've got about 15 seconds. And so thank you very much for making your time and coming onto the show. And folks, when I come back from the break, I'll give you some of my ideas that I've shared with Mitchell on what I think we should be doing and what we can actually do as a republic and as people individually and as a government. So thank you again for coming on, Mitchell.
Thank you.
You got it. Folks, we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so I am back, and I'm hoping that everything that discussion with Mitchell Gerber resonated with you. I'm hoping that as a lover of liberty, it kind of reached those core principles that you have, that there is nothing worse than a human being absolutely losing liberty to the state, to where their life is no longer theirs. They have no choice. And that when the state comes to pull you from camp, you will surrender what they have, that you have, that they want to take from you. You have no choice. And so this next testimony is going to be, is a follow-up, and it's packed with a lot of meat. So here we go. Let's listen to this one.
For today, many of you probably heard about the horrific organ transplant abuse in China, including reports that Falun Gong practitioners and other prisoners of conscience are killed to supply the lucrative trade in human body parts. I first learned about these allegations nearly a decade ago, when David Matus and David Kilgour, and also the Miss World Canada 2003, Nazanin F. Xinjiang, were speaking about it in Vancouver. But it took me a long time to nearly confront the gravity of this crime, to consider deeply what it means that tens of thousands, or perhaps hundreds of thousands, of innocent people are being killed for their organs. The first time I was made to grapple seriously with this issue was when I started a film called The Bleeding Edge, which is based on true events. In it, I played a Falun Gong practitioner imprisoned for her beliefs, who was tied to an operation table as her vital organs are removed to be sold for a profit. Acting in this scene required me to imagine what this process would be like from the standpoint of a victim. And I had to imagine the sheer terror of knowing that death was imminent. It was a feeling of utterly helplessness, of being at the mercy of a cold-blooded murderer who would show me none. On the street, if someone assaults you and steals your purse, you can scream for help. Tied to a hospital bed in a surgical room of a labor camp, no one can hear you scream. In China, it is the state itself that is involved in organ stealing. As I consider this crime while preparing for my film's performance, I felt engulfed by the profound vulnerability and the injustice of it all. So it was a turning point for me, which made me realize that it is my duty to do all in my power to generate awareness about this issue. And I hope that you will feel the same after today's hearing. One of the factors that made it difficult to really grasp the magnitude of these crimes is that the victims, Falun Gong practitioners, are still not very well understood. Despite being among the most severely persecuted group in China, perhaps it is harder to really sympathize with them, with these people whose beliefs are rather foreign. So today I would like to shed some light on what Falun Gong really is, and why they're being persecuted by the Communist Party. Falun Gong is many things, a set of meditation exercises, a moral code, and a way of life. If you have seen people practicing it in the park or in front of European Union today, you may have noticed that the exercise and meditation forms are very similar to Tai Chi and yoga. Falun Gong was and still is a social phenomenon. Because Falun Gong has no hierarchy or organizational structure, doesn't involve money, and doesn't really keep membership, no one knows exactly how many practitioners there were in China. But in 1998, the State Sport Administration estimated that there were 70 million to 100 million practitioners in China, more than the membership of Communist Party. Now, this is a major reason why Falun Gong was targeted by the Communist Party, and such a huge independent group was unprecedented in a communist community, a Communist Party regime history. And this explains how organ harvesting could come about. With potentially millions of Falun Gong practitioners incarcerated in China's vast network of prison camps, they become worth more death than alive. Their organs were worth money. They are blood typed, and when a blood match is made, they can simply be led away and killed, or simply put under anesthesia to have their organ removed while they are still alive. The mass killing that we're talking about today is not an abstract concept. The victims are real people, and they're innocent Chinese citizens. I know that prisoners of conscience sometimes give people the impression that these people are prisoners, but we are talking about innocent Chinese people. What's more is that they're extraordinarily brave and noble people who wanted nothing more than to seek truth and goodness and practice their beliefs. And because they're not willing to relinquish their values, their principles, they've been killed so their government can benefit from their organs. I hope that after today's testimony, that you will do all in your power to also bring attention to this issue. Thank you very much.
I'm hoping that the content that was provided today has reached your core. I hope that you begin to fathom the concept of communism, statism, and losing the cost of losing one's individual liberty and individual sovereignty. I'm not sure if you are a supporter of individual liberty and sovereignty, but I will say this, that if you are, if you support the Constitution, because it is the only obstacle of communism here in this country. And it is the only thing that is saving our individual liberty and individual sovereignty. If you support those things, then what we will be facing is a barrage. Because if you become a supporter, that means you're standing up and you're standing out. That means you become a target like myself. That means that there are going to be those who are going to try to label you. There are going to be the enemy, and they're going to seem like they're not the enemy because they may be coming from the camp of where, you know, good patriots come from, like the Republican Party, like the establishment, and these good leaders that are supposedly protecting us and doing our bidding, as well as looking after our best interests. I am going to tell you that they are not. That's why I've been calling, and you've heard me say this many times, that we have an abundance of managers managing agendas. I do not know, and I cannot see one leader anymore, really, in Spokane. I think that there are some good people in leadership positions, but I'm not convinced that they're leaders anymore. I would love somebody to tell me, and I'd love to see a real leader stand. It's time. It is time for this area to finally take a stand. But I'm going to tell you, here are some risks that we are going to face, because they will come after you. The establishment will label you. If there's a way they can destroy you, they will. They will call you a racist. I saw the best cartoon where, you know, the liberals and the progressives were literally using race. I mean, even though it had nothing to do with race whatsoever, they label you as a racist. Like, you drive a Chevrolet. Well, you're a racist. I mean, it is getting that ludicrous, and they are trying to get these evil labels. It's called label lynching, and they're trying to do this to destroy those who are willing to take a stand, and they're going to throw anything and everything they can at you. And they did it with Judge Roy Moore. They're doing it all over the place, and it is even happening here. I want you to know the history. Before I came here, I had a very close friend that I grew up with that moved here. And because I am very sensitive to, if you want to call it white supremacy and the separatist movements and those types of things, because there was some history here a long, long time ago. And I called and had a long conversation, and my close friend said, that is not here anymore. That is gone. If it is here, it is way out into the nether reaches of the Rockies and, you know, up in the mountains, Montana, things like that. It is not here. It is not in the politics. It has no place here. And so I will tell you that you're starting to see people in this area that are being label lynched. And the irony of what happened with Northwest Grassroots in trying to teach people on the dangers of label lynching, in trying to take the high road and going out and saying, you know, look, people are label lynching this person. And I'm telling you, they could not find any facts. Nobody provided them with any facts. And by doing that, they set them up, because maybe there is some type of history. It's still really, the evidence still hasn't been provided, but anybody that comes out and calls anyone a racist and a white supremacist or separatist, black supremacist, I don't care what the separatist side is, you and everybody should demand the evidence. Because if we are going to commence a trial, if we are a land of the rule of law and we're a land of laws, then we should demand the evidence. We should not allow the rule of rumors to run amok and destroy the good credibility of good people. I'm out of time. I'm sorry about that, but I will be back, because somehow I think you know that I've got a rant here for you. God bless you. I will be back next week, and we will be talking in some good detail next week. Thank you so much. Bye now.